Joining me now in studio, a Bay Area icon, Rodessa Jones. Ms. Jones is an actor, director, writer, and activist, and the founder of the Medea Project Theater for Incarcerated Women, which celebrates its 25th anniversary next month with a show at Brava for Women in the Arts. The show is called Birthright, and it's a collaboration between Cultural Odyssey and Planned Parenthood Northern California. Also joining us, Adrian Bosian. Adrian is Vice President of Public Affairs for Planned Parenthood Northern California, the fourth largest Planned Parenthood affiliate in the U.S. Adrian directs the agency's policy and advocacy in 20 Northern California counties, as well as the organization's political arm, the Planned Parenthood Northern California Action Fund. Welcome to Women's Magazine, both of you.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi.
So, Rodessa Jones, probably most of our listeners know about the Medea Project, but I'm sure there are some who do not. So, tell us about how it got started and some of the things that you've done.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, a short question.
The Medea Project Theater for Incarcerated Women grew out of my being invited by the California Arts Council to come into the local jail, that's Bryant Street here in San Francisco, and teach aerobics to incarcerated women. And I was fascinated. I mean, what does aerobics have to do with saving women's lives or with rehabilitation? So I went, and of course, immediately I realized that something else was going to be needed. And so I performed for them. I have a series of movements, sound and movement exercises. And so I was doing back overs and handstands and cartwheels. And at that time, I was just turning 42, 43. My daughter was getting married, and they were just fascinated that I was sharing all of this information with them. And I realized on some level that they liked storytelling. They like the idea that I would talk about my real life. And one of the women came up to me and she said, "Well, why are you telling us your business?" And with African Americans, that's very important about keeping our business to ourselves. And I said, "Well, it's about building bridges out of here, out of this place. It's about finding a way for us all to go back home to our communities and our children and our families." And she said, "But can we talk?" And I said, "Yes, you can talk as well if you agree to participate in the respect for everybody's voice and experience. And what's said in this room stays in this room." And thus began my relationship with incarcerated women. And out of that grew a piece entitled Big Butt Girls, Hard-Headed Women, which was my take on looking at all these women who were in and out of jail. And, you know, the quintessential bad girl, the hard-headed girl. I grew up with a father who used to say, "You know, don't be so hard-headed. Sit your big butt down." And so I saw these women walking around. I was thinking, "Oh, I'm in the land of big butt girls, hard-headed women." And I proceeded to gather the language, because the language in jails, prisons, is its own community. It's almost its own planet. The language has infiltrated the culture in that 24/7 is really out of this prison language. The 411, chilling. You know, are you coming for me? I'll drop something on you. The 1, 2, 3, foresight. This is all language that I heard in jails. It was like, and I was fascinated with the language, so I started to interpret the language, and I got more and more interested in the population. And after doing Big Butt Girls, which became a major hit across the United States at first, the women who work at the county jail approached me about coming into the jails and doing workshops with women, where I would get women at large to tell their stories. And out of that, the Medea Project was born. The whole idea of, how did you arrive at this place? How did you get your name? Who's taking care of your children? If you could change your life. And the stories were so fascinating, because if there's nothing else I love more than it's the female and the criminology around a female. We're all witches, but women who are in lockdown, they're fabulous. and the stories are just amazingly intense, and they're just infused with crisis and drama and tears but a lot of bravery. I met a lot of powerful women inside. And I went to Mike Hennessy, who was then the sheriff of San Francisco County, and I said, "I'd like to take these women to a public theater and have the public experience their stories. Mike said yes, because he really believes that art changes lives. But I reminded the audience every night how these were our sisters and our daughters and our mothers and our cousins. They were from our community. And the Madea Project will now be celebrating 25 years. Part of Birthright's celebration in April is that we will be looking at 25 years as an arts project here in San Francisco.
Do you only work in San Francisco jail, or have you worked in other prisons and jails around the state?
Around the state and the world. I have a theater company in just outside of Soweto, Johannesburg, on a South African prison, Natcharina Prison. I've been going over there a lot in the last decade. So we have a Madea in South Africa, you know, and I think Madea in Africa is such a wonderful, wonderful title. But actually, there's a group of women in the prisons that are still working and performing that I had the great privilege of meeting almost 10 years ago. That's been just a crowning jewel in my journey. But I've also worked in Italy. I've worked in East Africa. I've worked in West Africa. I've worked all over the United States, Alaska. And it's about theater for incarcerated women, which, you know, for a long time, nobody wanted to admit. You know, I mean, we're in this strange place about where what a woman should be doing and where she belongs, as we'll get to talking about. But I realized that working in the jails, it was like a lot of people don't want to know. A bad girl should be locked down, put away until she can behave. Nobody wants to deal with why is she acting out? Why is she simply demanding her rights? You know, and it's been a fascinating journey just to be all over the place, all over the United States and the world, working with incarcerated women. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm curious how you see the differences between working with women in U.S. jails and prisons and in somewhere like South Africa.
One of the most illuminating, enlightening things about South Africa was that inside of that jail, there's seven dialects, largely Zulu. The wardens, as they're called, deputies, they are largely Zulu. Zulu is the largest tribes, but everybody shares these languages, and there is a familiar sense that they experience. Even the deputies, they don't carry guns inside. You know, it's like they are walking amongst their sisters, their cousins, their families. And so it's very civilized. I'm sure if things got really crazy, they know how to – but I never saw that. It was very civilized. It was really about working together to change their lives. Lots of classes in South Africa. Everybody was going to class to study everything from – I met women who were learning how to start foster care, because foster care with the AIDS epidemic is very new in South Africa, in the history of that culture. And I met women who were, you know, becoming AIDS advocates, women who were working with young people, women who were becoming choir directors. And all this was going on in the jails. This was the education that they were receiving, you know. And so it was a very, very different atmosphere than here at home, where so much of the time people are locked down. They're given terrible food. The diets are terrible. People are very depressed. There's all these rules around moving freely in the jails. And it makes for a very different kind of a population, a very depressive population here at home, largely. And there's a lot of prisons here, young people's prisons in America. You know, there and in South Africa, the children were in the same prison because they were just having this epidemic of children committing horrendous crimes. And I'm sorry, but largely American television. You know, they watch American TV, but they didn't know what to do with them. They didn't have like a lot of facilities for juvenile facilities was just, I think, starting to happen when I was in South Africa.
You know, great. So that's what we're exporting, putting your children in prison. Why did you decide to do this 25th anniversary show focusing on reproductive rights and women's health?
I was sent. I'm always sent. It's a very magical journey, this being a founder, director, activist with the Madea Project Theater for Incarcerated Women. I met the former director of the Shasta Pacific Planned Parenthood, Stacey Gardner. Stacey had seen the Madea Project years ago, And about 3 years ago, she approached me about doing a workshop performance with Planned Parenthood service providers. Thanks to Stacey, I got to meet a lot of people who actually work for Planned Parenthood. For the first time in my life, I got sort of inside the clinic, you know. And so we met with them in the East Bay and talked about their roles, talked about what was going on, what are all the services that are afforded by Planned Parenthood, as well as we met volunteers, and they were really interesting women that were in their 70s who had had children back in the day and had given them up because of the mores and societal maniacalness, I think. That's what I call it. But anyways, that was so wonderful. We met them, and it was with Stacey asking me, would I take on a collaboration with Planned Parenthood using the same methodologies that the Medea Project uses, which is basically a theatrical context in which we unfold the personal private narratives of whatever the subject matter is. And it's just been amazing to be in this. And then we were actually awarded funding by Creative Work Fund to continue to work. And my folks, the women I work with, were, you know, we all have a relationship with Planned Parenthood as American women growing up in this culture. Planned Parenthood has been there for all of us for so long, and it's much more than, you know, the stigma around, you know, abortion and that kind of thing. But it's just it offers an amazing amount of services for the communities, for various communities. And it saddens me to know, like in Texas, that so many of them have closed. And now there's this whole onslaught of taking away money that's around testing for cancer. I mean, it's insane. Yeah. So I'm glad to be on board. And it's all bubbling and growing because it needs to do so right now. Yeah.
You know, we do hear a lot about Planned Parenthood in the media. We hear a ton about abortion rights and reproductive rights in the media. But a lot of what we hear about are things happening in places like Texas and Arizona with Republican governors and very active Tea Parties. Here in California, we have Democratic majorities in both houses of the legislature and historically some of the strongest abortion rights laws in the country. Adrian Bosian, what do you see as some of the main reproductive rights issues facing us here in Northern California?
Yes. So Planned Parenthood has been around for 100 years. We're having our 100th anniversary next year. And since the beginning, providing birth control when it was illegal, and now here we are in 2015. So far, there have been 240 measures to restrict abortion in state houses across the country just this year. And from 2011 to 2013, we saw more anti-abortion measures enacted in the states than we had in the previous decade. So, and we were talking about the range of Planned Parenthood services. It's incredible what Planned Parenthood does. We do direct health services at our health centers, 97% of which are preventive health care, 3% abortion services. We are very proud of the abortion services that we provide for women, but it's just 3% of what we do. And we do education out in the community and, of course, our advocacy. And here in California, we are in better shape. The past 3 years in a row, we've got three times we had laws passed into law, signed by the governor, to expand access to abortion and birth control. We are so proud of that. We were the only state moving forward while everybody else was moving backwards. And yet it's not a total Shangri-La, right? Uh-huh. We still have access issues, and not just rural communities, right across the state for low-income women, there are access issues. Here in San Francisco, we have pretty severe protesters. They are fairly small in number, but they are aggressive and very harassing. And same situation in Napa at our Napa Health Center, following women down the street, telling them their appointment's been canceled. So those are some of the challenges. We've got the Affordable Care Act, which was an incredible advance, one of the biggest advances in 50 years for healthcare. And yet we've got the Supreme Court that's going to be coming out with a decision soon on the tax subsidies. We're talking about 9.5 million people whose subsidies may be in jeopardy, and that's going to destabilize the whole system potentially. And that, of course, is a burden for low-income women, women of color.
Yeah, I wonder if you could talk a little more about some of the access issues. I actually used to work with a group called Access, Women's Health Rights Coalition, which runs a hotline and helps women get access to all health services, but especially most people are calling for help accessing abortion. And I know from that work that the number of clinics providing later abortions to women on Medi-Cal, depending on Medi-Cal, has shrunk like drastically, even in San Francisco. I mean, I think when I started doing that work, which was in the early 90s, there were like four or five clinics in San Francisco and Oakland that provided abortions after 20 weeks to women depending on Medi-Cal. And now I think San Francisco General is like the only one in all of Northern California.
Yeah. And then we see at the federal level, what does the House do of this Congress? One of the first things they wanted to do was the 20-week ban. Because the work I do is advocacy, in order to keep moving forward, I like to talk about some of the advances we've made. We had a bill.
That'd be great.
Yeah, we had a bill signed into law 2 years ago that would allow registered nurses to dispense hormonal contraception so that you can get it, because there's a shortage of providers, right, and a shortage of physicians, so that if you can't see a doctor that day, you can still get birth control, because that removes a lot of barriers here in San Francisco and in rural communities, removes barriers.
Yeah, and there's no reason that healthcare needs to be so segregated that you get your women's health, and your birth control from one provider and you get your like asthma medicine from somebody else. I mean, really, it should all be much more holistic. And if it were, then we wouldn't have as many of the issues that we do have in terms of women being able to be targeted for seeking these services.
It's baffling. It's baffling to me, the hostile indifference to our lives as women and our right to make choices. And it's just grown, or have I been asleep?
In San Francisco, at our health center over on Valencia, they've got these signs that were partially blocking the sidewalk, graphic, disturbing images that neighbors were so upset about. They said that their children didn't want to drive by the health center because they were so upset. And then they've got, there's this man out in front who is there every week, and he is very aggressive. He films our clients going in and out. And can you imagine, you're in your 20s. It's an upsetting day for you for whatever reason. You are worried you have an STD. You're worried that you're pregnant. You're worried you have breast cancer. And you're, whatever the reason, it tends to be something upsetting. And this man is out in front filming them, shouting at them. We actually had a buffer ordinance in San Francisco and widely supported. Then the Supreme Court last July struck down Massachusetts' buffer zone, making enforcement of our buffer zone problematic. We amended it with the full support of the all 11 supervisors. So that's the good news right here in San Francisco. We have a lot of support. And there's some protection, but it's not the fuller level of protection that the other ordinance was providing. But
I'm on record as being against buffer zones.
You are?
I mean, just not that I don't think that what these people do is horrible, but I also think it's a civil right and that we need more protest, not less protest, even if we don't always like the protesters. But I did wonder about clinic defenders and if you work with clinic defenders at all. And
So in Napa, there's also a very vocal group of protesters, and they're engaged, right now they're engaged, they have this thing called 40 Days of Life, which I call 40 Days of Harassment, and they're out there 24/7, Rodessa.
Yeah. Power to the people.
For 40 days, and we, following women to their cars, and we have escorts in Napa. Just the way that it's set up, it's conducive to escorts. And here's another silver lining. People love to escort for us. Our supporters want to fill those shifts all day long and help get women and men have come to Planned Parenthood for services too, to make get them inside to make sure that they're feeling safe.
That's great. That's great to hear. This is Women's Magazine on KPFA 94.1 FM and online at kpfa.org. I'm Kate Raphael in conversation with Rodessa Jones, director and founder of the Medea Project Theater for Incarcerated Women, and Adrian Bosian, vice president of public affairs at Planned Parenthood of Northern California. Rodessa and the Medea Project will present Birthright, a new show based on the work of Planned Parenthood, April 9th to 19th at Brava Theater. Medea Project is celebrating its 25th anniversary and Planned Parenthood its 100th this year. So, Rodessa, tell us a little about the show and what we'll see when we go to Brava, April 9th to 19th. Who's in it? How's it structured? What's it going to be like?
The Medea Project, we have a core of about 10 women. We will be dealing with the magic of imagery, projections, numbers, faces. But at the heart of it is the personal narrative. The personal narrative. At the same time, it's about telling the truth and practicing revolution. You know, that's always what interests me. And I think it's freeing for women, whenever they work with me, to be able to stand on a stage in this community and say, this happened to me, or this is what I'm going through. And then when we collaborate with Planned Parenthood, I feel like we're interfacing these two groups. With Planned Parenthood is 100. Going to be 100 years old next year. The Medea Project is 25 years old this year. And I feel like where we meet is that the Medea Project has always been about women saving their own lives through the creative process. And Planned Parenthood has been there to offer all kinds of services and help women to make choices about saving their own lives. So we're going to be celebrating that too. We're going to be talking about how those two things are wedded and matter and how American they are, you know, in a lot of ways. But it also is going to expand out to look at the lives of women around the globe. And there'll be a lot of dancing. We're dealing a lot with chair dances. We're playing with the waiting room. We're playing a lot with women waiting. That's another aspect of the work, is what happens when women are waiting together. And that's where a lot of the movement and the stories will flow from that as well. And we have our dream CEO. You know, she's from the future, and it's under new management is what this is called. But it's this wonderful monologue that one of the women has written about the future and how the future of women and our place economically at the center of women's health and body and change. And it's pretty warm and funny. That's a really good little moment there. And then we have another young woman talking about how she used to go to Planned Parenthood when she was 14 for condoms. She'd be on her way to a party, and she just knew which clinics were open and still got pregnant. And that's pretty hysterical, really. It's pretty hysterical, her story. She's so it's those kinds of stories. Some of them are dark. Some of the stories are dark. When young woman talks about getting raped in the fifth grade, you know. And the thing I love about the Medea Project is that we can create a circle, and in the name of women's lives, women's health care, this young woman comes into the circle and tells this story about, getting assaulted in a bathroom in the fifth grade and how that changed her whole relationship to her body and to sex and to men. And we have one young lady who found that she was HIV positive through the services at Planned Parenthood. And that's a wonderful story, how it all ends with, you know, actually, she has a beautiful baby son, and she just takes us from the darkness and insecurity of my life at this point in her life, you know, finding out that she's HIV positive at a clinic, and 5 years later, being a mom, and, you know, just stunning. Just, I'm very proud of this show. Birthright, I think, is going to be pretty fabulous.
What are you hoping will come out of this collaboration between Planned Parenthood and the Medea Project?
Well, it's just been wonderful to have the synergy happen already, and awareness of the services that we provide and the range of services. We do prenatal care, HIV testing, cancer screenings, education, and we just want more people to be aware of that so that they know where to turn, that our doors are always open no matter what your income.
And the struggle continues for our right to live our lives, you know. When I first started this collaboration with Planned Parenthood, I lost some women in my group, African-American
really?
Women, because this whole idea that, oh, they're just about killing babies, so I can't do this. And that sparked me to think, now, how can we open it up and share the reality of this, of what Planned Parenthood is, particularly in California? I'm loving what you're saying about what's going on here, because there were several women who were just totally, and I mean, not to be hard on my sisters, it's just that I know that over the time of working in the prisons with women and African-American women, the history of slavery has definitely wounded us about life and holding on to life for so long. We had no control over life. But at the same time, I was so dismayed when women couldn't work with me because, you know, they were like, I know what this is about. And no, you don't. And we all need, like we were saying earlier, we all need to have a deeper understanding about systems that are created so that women may make choices about their own lives. And I found working with incarcerated women, that is one of the pieces that have been lost or was never there, is that you have a right to this life. Now, how you claim it is that you step up and you make decisions. You stand with other women behind things that will forward all of us as a group, because we are a cultural group. Women are.
Birthright, a new show by Rodessa Jones and the Medea Project Theater for Incarcerated Women, plays Thursdays through Sundays from April 9th through the 19th at Brava Theater, 2781 24th Street in San Francisco. There will be a special gala show on Saturday, April 11th. You can get all the information about how to get tickets by going to brava.org and clicking on shows, or you can go to themediaproject.weebly.com. We'll also have that link on our website, kpfawomensmag.blogspot.com. Birthright is a collaboration by the Medea Project and Planned Parenthood of Northern California. Rodessa Jones joined me in the studio, along with Adrian Bosian, Vice President for Public Affairs of Planned Parenthood, Northern California.